Greet each one in Christ's name this morning. It's good to be here with you all. Come into New York City and worship with you this morning. I enjoyed the service thus far, and pray that we can continue to look into God's Word and gain inspiration this morning. You can turn to Nehemiah 8 for title of the sermon this morning. I'm going to read verses 1 to 12 out of Nehemiah 8. This is the people had turned away from God. They had spent a lot of time in other lands, and they were coming back, and Ezra and Nehemiah were reading to the people what God wanted for them. And we'll read the first 12 verses here. Nehemiah 8, verse 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Israel the priest brought the law before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattiah, and Shema, Ananiah, Arijah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pediah, Mishael, Micaiah, Hashem, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he had opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Bani Sherba, Jamin, Achab, Shabbathiah, Hadadjai, Messiah, Kelita, Azari, Jasabed, Hanim, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. I want to take title this morning out of the end of verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This morning, think of joy as to rejoice or to be glad. I wanted to also, where joy comes out in the New Testament, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit this morning, joy. When you think of joy, the idea gives the idea of happiness that goes beyond our present circumstances. There are times that we are happy because of what is happening. I was happy to get here this morning. I was happy to be able to make it safely. But you know, joy goes beyond that. We can have joy even though things about us aren't going like we wish. It's a happiness that comes within. We are not going to be able to produce this happiness. Joy is a state of emotion that doesn't fluctuate with the environment around us. So what is the joy of the Lord this morning? What do you think of when you think of the joy of the Lord? These people were rejoicing. They were overjoyed because they could serve the Lord again. They were overjoyed because they understood what God wanted for them. Is it not this morning when we know we are in God's will and we have His smile of approval? Is it not just knowing God personally, knowing His love, His compassion, His mercy, His grace this morning? Isn't that what can bring us joy? As I said, it's not what's about us. It's not our environment. It's not what you're experiencing. It's not our circumstances, even though that helps. But we need to understand as we think of joy that it comes from God. I want to look a little bit right now, what brings God joy? Isaiah 65, a couple verses 18 and 19. Isaiah 65, 18 and 19. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, my joy, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. This is prophecy. This is yet to be fulfilled. But God joys in people that are serving Him. God joys in people that have a relationship with Him. This is when everything will be made new. This is when everything will be perfect before God. Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. God, it brings God joy when one person gives his life over to God. It brings Him joy whenever one person is following Him. God gives God joy when people voluntarily serve Him, when they voluntarily follow Him, people that have turned from darkness into light. This morning I want to look a little bit about what brings joy to a Christian, and then a little bit about strength. What brings joy to a Christian this morning? It's knowing God. 1 John 2, verses 1 to 6. First John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His law, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Verse 3, if we know Him, we will keep His commandments. This morning we can have joy because of knowing God. John 17, verses 1 to 3, a few verses. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, and Thy Son also, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We can have eternal life this morning because we know him. We know God. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This morning we can have a personal relationship with God and he will commune with us. We have joy this morning through knowing God. Second one, we can have joy this morning by abiding in Christ. John 15, verses 1 to 8. Talking about Jesus being the true husbandman, Jesus as the vine. I'm going to read these verses. John 15, 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Think of Christ as the vine. We think of a tree, or we think of a vine and the branches that come out of it. We are the branches that are grafted into the vine. We need to abide in the vine of Christ. We need to abide in Christ. We cannot bear fruit. We cannot do what God wants for us unless we are connected to Christ. If we aren't bearing fruit, we're going to be cut down. If we are not living for God, we will be cast aside. As we abide in Christ, as we follow Christ and his commandments, God's going to work with us. He's going to help us produce more fruit. God will prune us or purge us. He'll cut us back to make us more productive. He'll take things out of our life that maybe aren't wrong, but he'll take them out so that we can follow him more closely. We can follow him more productively. God wants us to get rid of those things that hinder us from following him, from fully following him, fully turning our lives over to him. If we allow the pruning in our lives, we can become more like Christ and vessels fit for his service. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we have the Spirit of Christ this morning, we can abide in him. Can I say this morning, in thinking of joy, I said joy comes from within us. Joy is something that comes because of God being in us. As we abide with Christ, as we have joy in our hearts, it can help us to keep from bouncing between the depths of despair and, I say, the head in the clouds feelings. Can we find a little more of a middle road? Now, that's hard sometimes. As we have joy in our hearts, we'll be able to follow God instead of our emotions. Romans 12, verse 15, God does say, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. We do have times of great joy, times of great happiness, and also times that we need to cry, times that we say are not the best of times. Romans 5, verse 3, we're told to glory in tribulations, glory in the hard things of life. Thank God for those times. This morning, as we have Christ abiding in us, or as we are abiding in Christ, we can see God working in our life. As we look back, maybe it's easier to look back at just what happened. Look back at where God has taken us, and we can see that he has guided our lives. So how do we have joy this morning? By having love one for another. I want to read verses 9 to 14 here of John 15. Continuing where I'd left off. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. This morning we need love one for another. Christ has loved us as God loved him. Christ loved us as his Father loved him. And we need to love each other as we have been loved by God. And that is so powerful. God, Christ loved us enough to lay down his life. Christ gave his life so that we could be washed free from sin. If you look at the very first verse, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Think of God allowing Christ, God needing Christ to go to the cross, yet Christ is saying that his Father loved him. God this morning at times allows us to go through hard times, but it is because he loves us. He is taking us through those hard times to bring us closer to him. As we give the love to others that Christ showed to us, it will be a self-sacrificing love. It will be a love that does not expect anything in return. It will be a love that goes out to those that are hard to love. And we don't expect anything in return. We need to have love one for another. This morning, another thing that brings joy to a Christian is being filled with the Holy Spirit. John 7, verse 37. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This morning, does it give you joy that we can have the Holy Spirit in our lives? Philip was talking about Israelites not having the Spirit yet, but today, as Christians, we can have the Spirit living within us. It brings us joy to realize that God is within us. God is with us at all times. And as we take that, we give it to others. As we live the life of the Holy Spirit, it flows out to those about us. We cannot hide it. We cannot keep it within ourselves. People see it. We tell others. Gives us joy. What a joy we can have when we follow God's commandments and know that his Spirit and eternal life is within us and nothing can take it away. Another thing that brings joy to a Christian is the repentance of sinners and a walk with God. 3 John verse 4. 3 John talking, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now John was referring to the many people he had discipled, the many people he had talked to. There's nothing that made him happier. There's nothing that gave him more joy than to see people walking in truth, walking toward God. And that is this morning, that is as Christians, there should be nothing that makes us happier. There should be nothing that gives us more joy than to see other believers, see other people following God. It is such an encouragement to come here to New York and to see other people following God. It is such an encouragement in my own life to be able to come here and we talk about the same God. We talk about the same things. We have some of the same struggles, and we have the same God to go to. I want to go and look a little bit at strength now. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I think we all like strength. It makes things happen. It gets things done. As we have strength, we work. But where does this strength come from? Where, even our physical strength, it comes from God. But I want to look a little more of the spiritual strength within us this morning. As we look at this word strength, in this context, it gives the idea of a fortified place, a defense, more of a rock, a stronghold. It gives me the idea of something we can come back to, a foundation, something that gives us stability in our life. Something maybe to hide behind when evil comes to us. This strength from God empowers us to do what would be otherwise impossible. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Do we take a hold of this power? Do we take a hold of this strength that we have? Because of the joy within us, because of what God is doing for us? Or do we just look like it? Or do we understand the strength that is ours because of being a Christian? I want to look at a few things that we need strength for this morning in living the Christian life. And I'll just say, it'd be easy to say we need this strength for every area of our life. We cannot do it all on our own. But I just want to look at a few things specifically. First one I have is to overcome temptation, that we need this strength for. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. This morning we have this strength to overcome temptation. This verse tells us that God is not going to allow anything to come to us that he will not give us the strength to overcome. As temptations come and we need to resist wrong, we need to resist sin, God gives us the strength to do that. But it's up to us to take hold of that promise. Do we understand the promise that is giving us? This morning we know that Christ was tempted yet without sin. Christ took a hold of that promise that God was there to help him. And we have the same provision this morning that Christ had to overcome temptation and not yield to it. We need this strength this morning to love one another. It is maybe an overlap of what brings us joy, but some days it takes strength to love one another. First John chapter 4. I'm going to skip around a few verses here. Verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then 19 to 21, We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We need the strength to love one another. We have an example of Christ, of looking at Jesus' life and his love for others, and what God has done for us, his love towards us. I like verse 8. It said, if we don't love one another, we can't be of God, because God is love. That's who God is. God is the mastermind of love. God extends his mercy and grace to us because he loves us. He is not willing that any should perish. God cares all about us. Christ extended his love to those about him when he lived here on earth. He cared about everyone and taught them. And so today, again, we need to love as we have been loved. What does it take strength for this morning? It takes strength to tell others about God. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. In Acts 1, verse 8, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We need strength this morning to tell others about God. We could go on about verses in the Bible that tell us to pass on what we have been given, pass on this joy that God has given to us. Are we ready to tell others what we believe and why we believe? Do we allow God to empower us? Do we tap into this strength and this power that is ours if only we take it, if only we allow it into our lives? Again, I want this strength. It is not of ourselves, but it comes from God and must be accepted of God. So often we go through life and life happens, things go well, and we forget that God is the source of all strength. You know, sometimes I go through life in the Christian life and it's like, yes, I just need all the power that God will give me. Of course I'll take what God gives me, but it does come with a price. I think that's maybe why it's hard for us to take it sometimes. It comes with a price. It's free, but it comes with a price. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This morning, all you have to do is give yourself over to God. And all this power, all this joy that I've been talking about is yours. But you do need to humble yourself before God. You need to give yourself over to God to be able to tap into that. Give up our selfish will and live wholly for God and not for ourselves. Let's stand for a word of prayer.